These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
My typical work day starts out very early in the morning. My alarm goes off at 4:10 a.m. Then my next alarm goes off at 4:20. If you can't tell, a single alarm doesn't get me up. It's more of a suggestion that I need to get up. That suggestion doesn't always work, though. Just mostly prompts me to hit the snooze button multiple times. Then the alarm goes off again at 4:32. I guess I wanted to change things up to get off the tens of minutes just a bit. If those don't work, I'm hoping the ones at 4:44, 4:51, and finally 5 a.m. actually get me fully up and out of bed and will send me stumbling blindly in the dark towards the shower. That's the only thing that really starts to slowly wake me up. After finishing up there, if I have time, I try to throw some sort of food into a bag, grab a beverage, and head out to my car, throwing anything I'm bringing along with me and my work bag in the passenger seat. At that point, start up my GPS. I use Waze. I do that to see what my ETA to work is. The reason for that, Nashville area traffic on the interstate is always a gamble, even at around 5:30 in the morning. For those of you that don't know Nashville rush hour, the morning rush generally starts around 4 a.m. and lasts till around noon. The evening rush starts at noon and goes till around 11 p.m. People on Fridays, they like to get an earlier start though, so they can leave early in the afternoon on Friday. So on Fridays, that morning rush actually starts on Thursday. If you haven't picked up on it yet, Nashville's traffic can be really bad. A good example is something I saw that said, Nashville is about an hour away from Nashville. Getting back to my day, I now have my GPS up and I leave on my road rage filled commute in, doing everything I can to make it on time. There are days like today, though, that rain is in the forecast. Midway through my drive, 8 drops of rain hit my windshield, and it's almost as if God flashed the biggest and brightest stop sign ever. People slam on their brakes with the amazement of the occurrence that just took place. I mean, it's beyond incredible to me that thousands of people, all of them on the road at the same time, freeze in a state of ultimate bewilderment by the tiniest amount of moisture that fell from the sky and landed on their vehicle. As soon as this happens, of course, after coming to a complete dead stop, I look over at my GPS to see there's now a 10-minute traffic jam. With any luck, the hordes of other drivers will suddenly remember how to lift their foot off the brake pedal, and I can make it to work on time. The point of all this is, the crazy and unexpected can happen at any time, but it especially seems like it happens right at the time you don't want it to. A lot like the incidents in this episode. Welcome back to Music City 911. The first incident, it starts off a bit differently. Usually with the 911 call is where I start, but that's not where this one started. March 29th of this year, just a couple weeks back, at around 1:40 p.m., a Sparks, Nevada police officer is out on routine patrol. While driving around in the neighborhood, he noticed a Ford Expedition SUV driving ahead of him. That Expedition had no license plate on it. The officer initiated a traffic stop and the expedition slowly rolled to a stop in the 1500 block of Greenbrier Drive. The officer gets out of his patrol car and begins walking to the vehicle he's just pulled over. That's where we join him.
Shots fired! It's going westbound, eastbound! I'm shot. It's just 10:50. Behind you. Where'd he go? Looks like he jumped the fence half. BMA, jean jacket. I think I need medics, med personnel.
This started as a simple traffic stop. Absolutely nothing else. As the officer walks to the driver's side door, before he can say a word or do anything at all, the driver of the expedition produces a handgun, points it directly at the officer, and fires it through the closed window, shattering the glass and injuring the officer. The officer was lucky. The shot happened roughly 1 foot away from him. The shot hit him in the vest, and either fragments of the bullet or pieces of the window grazed the side of his head and neck, missing his jugular vein by just millimeters. The majority of the bullet was lodged in the top right part of his vest. The vest he was wearing is a Kevlar one. Getting shot in one of those does prevent penetration of the bullet, but you still definitely feel the impact heavily. The driver of the expedition sped away from the stop, and the officer did manage to return some fire. The suspect had the worst bit of luck trying to flee the scene, though. Less than a half a block away, at the corner of Greenbrier and Rock Boulevard, he stupidly ran a stop sign and got T-boned by a U-Haul truck. At this point, the suspect got out of the expedition with gun in hand, ran from the vehicle, and hopped a fence. While injured from the shot being fired at him, the officer still managed to make the roughly half-block run over to where the collision happened with the U-Haul truck and started looking around for the suspect. After airing the shots fired, other officers started towards the area, and the first one met up with the original officer, checking his condition, and started organizing a search for the suspect. Minutes later, dispatch receives a 911 call from a resident in the area.
911, what's the address for emergency? There's a guy in your house with a gun?
He ran out of backyard.
When officers arrived at that residence, they discovered the suspect in the officer-involved shooting had entered the home and threatened the occupants with the gun.
He was on the tractor and came inside.
Where is he?
And they want to I think he went to the other house.
Wait, wait, it's okay. Which way? You went this way?
In the backyard, and then I think he jumped the fence, but I don't know where.
The mother there inside the house had a knife and ended up cutting or stabbing the suspect before he ran out the back door and into the yard, likely jumping over a fence. The suspect luckily didn't harm anyone inside that home. He could be heard in the background of the 911 call asking if he was shot. As more officers arrived to the area, a shelter-in-place order was given for all that lived in the vicinity due to this dangerous and armed suspect running around and now breaking into a house. As officers were going door-to-door, asking if anyone had seen the suspect, they noticed a car trying to back out of a driveway in the 1300 block of Prospect Avenue. They stopped the car and questioned the driver.
Sparks, police!
Police department!
Hey, just cover me just in case the guy might be in there.
Police department, show me your hands! Show me your hands!
Sparks, police!
Put your hands up!
Stop! That doesn't look like anyone's in there. All right, so we have a critical incident that's going on. It's kind of dangerous right now. Did anyone jump inside your yard or backyard?
No.
Where are you headed to? Okay. What I need you to do, can you go inside your house and shelter in place? Let's get this family out of here. And we need them for detectives so they get more information.
What officers didn't know was that the suspect was in the back seat of that vehicle. He had taken the older female driver hostage and was threatening her if she didn't drive him out of there. The officers, trying to move quickly from house to house, neglected to do a full search of her vehicle, but to their defense, the driver, although a little slow with her answer to the question of where are you going, she didn't seem very distressed. The back windows were also pretty heavily tinted. She was told to take her vehicle back inside the garage, which she did. The suspect remained in the house with the hostage. Police circled back around, later knocking on the same door of the vehicle that was trying to leave, and when the door opened, they saw the same female, but she was lying face down in the floor.
Hey, there's an older WFA in this house. She's the one I talked to.
Inside.
Yeah.
Hello, police.
Get up! Get up! Get up! Hey, stand up. Are you hurt?
No.
Get up! Get up! I got her.
Here, I got one hand, you get the other. Let's go. Let's get behind the car. Stay right here, man.
Bro, get the fuck out of there.
After officers opened the door and noticed the female lying on the ground and identified themselves as police, the suspect inside immediately started shooting with the officers returning fire. One of the lead officers grabbed the female hostage and, despite being fired upon, drug her out of the line of fire and across the street to safety. Another officer's body-worn camera captured audio of the same exchange.
Back inside?
Yeah. He's shooting at us deep.
In that back and forth of gunfire, two officers were struck, and while the suspect's aim was pretty good given the circumstances, both officers were incredibly lucky. One was struck in the vest, which stopped the bullet, and the other had his hearing protection hit and knocked off. The bullet missed his head by maybe an inch or two. Officers at that point pulled back to a more secure position and surrounded the area covering both of the front sides of that house and the house directly behind it, whose backyard was only separated by a tall fence from the yard of the house on Prospect. A police drone was sent into the air to try and keep watch on the back of the house the suspect was in, and he was seen crawling out of a small window into the backyard, then hopping the fence into the back neighbor's yard, and was then seen entering that house. A 911 call soon followed.
911, what's the address of the emergency? And what's the phone number that you're calling me from? Okay, and tell me exactly what happened.
Somebody has broken in my house to barricade my bedroom. The police have got the street door off. He's got to break down the front door and come in.
Okay. He's barricaded in the bathroom?
No, I'm in the bathroom. He's on my side.
Does he know you're in there?
I don't know, maybe.
What's your name?
I'm scared to death.
Everyone in that area knew roughly what was going on. That there was a shootout with police. More than one, actually. And a dangerous suspect was on the loose and running between houses. This woman that called 911 was incredibly scared and wanted police inside her house as quickly as possible. She actually said, "Please God, break down the front door." While inside the house, I'm guessing that the suspect looked out the front window and saw a large police presence waiting for him and decided to go out to the backyard where he hid behind a shed. All this was also seen from the eye in the sky, the police drone. Just a few minutes after the suspect exited the house, the female resident managed to escape through the front door. The suspect must not have liked his chances being exposed in the backyard like that, and he decided to re-enter the house. By this point, SWAT and crisis negotiators had made it to the scene and started urging the suspect to come out of the house, trying to avoid any other gunfire. They used a variety of tactics, including tear gas, and multiple messages over PA speakers. This lasted over 5 hours. At no point during that did the suspect respond. Due to getting nothing at all from the suspect inside, a decision was made to go in and clear the house, starting with the garage. SWAT entered the garage, which seemed like it was used primarily for a storage room for the resident. Various items were stacked nearly floor to ceiling, only offering small pathways through the garage.
Stay right there, watch. Yep, go right there.
We got blood on the fridge here. Still got blood.
After entering the garage and literally inching their way through all the stored items, officers noticed blood on a refrigerator towards the end of the garage, closest to the garage entry doorway, the one that went inside the house. After making it about midway through the garage, the suspect, who was hiding behind a large stack of items, again ambushed officers, firing at them. Multiple officers returned fire with multiple rounds just feet away from the suspect. After the gunfire ended, they pulled back out of the garage. During that exchange of fire, again an officer was hit, but this time the bullet struck the flashlight attached to his rifle, narrowly missing the officer's person. For more than 2 additional hours, crisis negotiators talked through loudspeakers to try and get the suspect to come outside. Again, there was no response. The last bit of gunfire, officers believed their bullets hit their mark. With no response coming from inside, SWAT decided to re-enter the garage to try to locate the suspect, which they did in the same spot he was last shooting at the officers. He had been hit multiple times. A medic who was already on the scene entered and pronounced the suspect deceased. From start to finish, The entirety of this incident lasted almost 9 hours. The suspect was 34-year-old Anthony Wade, a Reno, Nevada resident. He had a lengthy criminal history, starting from when he was a juvenile. Those records were sealed, but at age 18, he pled guilty for breaking into a house. He was given probation only, avoiding a potential 16 to 72-month stay in prison, as long as he didn't break the law again. A few months after he was given probation, he was found drinking in a motel room with other underage individuals. He gave a false name, Jamal Jerome Smith. When he was being arrested, he assaulted an officer. He was sent to a correctional facility to serve his sentence for the burglary and added 6 additional months for the assault on the officer. In 2015, he likely committed an armed robbery at an area nightclub, but there wasn't enough evidence to convict him, so the charges against him were dropped. At the time of this incident, he was living with his mother and had 3 kids. During the negotiators' attempts to get Wade to come out of the house, they had figured out who he was and contacted his family, asking them to record messages so he would come out of the house peacefully. His 13-year-old son said he loved his dad and wanted him to come out. His mother recorded a different message. Her message was, "I love you. Go to heaven. Be with God." Police did not relay that message to him. She knew that he wasn't going to come out of this alive. He had stated previously that he didn't want to go back to prison, and she knew that after shooting multiple officers, that's exactly where he would be headed. This incident is still under investigation, but I've got a pretty good feeling that all officers are going to be cleared of any wrongdoing in this. The last incident we have did have a couple 911 calls, but I wasn't able to get my hands on them. But there's plenty of audio from body-worn cameras, albeit with a few random audio dropouts here and there. This one definitely fits the theme of the episode, crazy and unexpected. Get ready to plug your ears and be disgusted on this one. The police department in Crystal Lake, Illinois, get a couple calls on December 6, 2022 regarding a vehicle swerving in the roadway and the driver acting erratically. They catch up to the vehicle in a Target parking lot where officers walk up to the driver's side window and knock on it.
Knock on the window.
Hi, miss. I'm Officer Costa with Crystal Lake Police Department. We're just talking to you because we got a couple complaints that you might have been swerving on the road or...
Hey, we need you to step out, okay? You're going to come and talk with us over here, okay? All right, my dear. So, here, put your butt right against there. This officer is going to ask you some questions, okay?
So, you just made it on your...
I'm on my music a lot.
Your music? Okay. Do you have your ID on you?
I can check. I just need to look at where you're reaching, my dear. I think it's right here. It's right there? Okay. Oh, all right. You good? Okay. Here, put your butt right back there, okay?
2004, how old does that make you?
That makes me 18.
18, okay. You say you're coming from Cary?
Yeah.
What were you doing in Cary?
This was my dad's.
Okay. Is this your mom's car? Or is this your mom?
This is my car.
Your car? Okay.
Yeah. I own it. I paid for the license.
Where do you live?
In Foxwoodville.
In Foxwoodville.
Really cool.
Okay, yeah.
So what were you guys doing at your boyfriend's house?
We were just watching movies and playing video games.
Watching movies and playing video games? Okay, and then you got the idea of... Explain to me one more time. I was like half
listening because I was talking to my partner. I was going to buy him Christmas presents while he's at work.
You were
going
to buy...
He looked it up by Steakhouse and I...
Got it.
To buy him.
Do you guys live together?
No,
because you live in...
We live separate. I live in Foxford Grove.
Got it, okay. And how old are you?
I'm 18.
You're 18?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so... My partner kind of explained why
that
were we here.
He got complaints that I was
so. Just to be
swerving.
Clear, you're the owner of this car.
Yes.
What time? Do you know what time it is right now? Go without looking. Guess.
I'm cheating.
About 6:30.
Okay, it's like it's right now. It's 7:15.
Yeah.
What time do you think?
5:30. Yes.
Okay, and then what did you do when you left his house?
I came here.
Okay. But it's 7:15. How long were you inside the store for?
A while.
Like, give me an approximate.
45 minutes.
You were in the store for 30, 45 minutes?
Yeah, looking for presents.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Is there anything illegal in the car?
Do, what's it called? What's it called when you take things that are, like, extra vitamins for you?
The overall video of this is very long. I've edited out a lot of it. But at this point, the driver tries to shift focus on what might be happening there. Officers believe she's under the influence of something. They're asking very standard questions, observing her to see how she acts and reacts to the questions. They ask if she has anything illegal in the car, and she starts talking about legally bought vitamins.
Like multivitamins?
Kind of, but like...
Nothing.
If it's something like over the counter.
Yeah, it's like
over the counter.
They sell them at Target.
Yeah,
like,
that's not.
Like okay, that. Then okay. That's the only thing that I implement.
Again, our concern is we had two people call in saying that you were swerving on the road, and we just want to make sure you're okay to drive.
And stumbling.
That's why.
Okay.
That's why.
After they saw you get out of your car. So here's the deal, though, okay? I appreciate it, all right? I appreciate what you're saying to me. However, we have a little bit of a problem, okay? So I'm going to give you an opportunity to be honest with me, okay? Because when you opened your door, I saw the bottle of vodka that's in your... I don't want you reaching in your car.
Well, okay. You could open the door.
Okay, I'll open the door. You can stand with Officer... So you're okay with me opening and looking?
Yes.
Maybe she saw it wrong or something.
Yes. You can open and look.
Okay.
The officer has asked for permission to open the door and look inside. They don't want a suspect going back inside the vehicle at any point, simply because they could have a weapon or Lord knows what else inside there. So at this point, the driver is given permission to open the door and look inside. Besides all that, the first time they looked in the vehicle, when Ellie was trying to get her driver's license out, the officer saw the bottle of vodka in there. For an 18-year-old, they're not supposed to be having any vodka inside the vehicle. The combination of both of those, permission to look inside the vehicle, as well as seeing the bottle of vodka, gives probable cause for the officer to look inside and actually search the vehicle fully. When she tells Ellie this, that's the start of all the bad that happens.
Everything's on video, okay?
Okay.
So now what we're going to do is I'm going to have you stand by with these officers and I'm going to search your vehicle.
You don't have the warrant to do that.
Actually, I have probable cause because I observed alcohol.
You don't have warrant to do
because
that.
Because I observed
alcohol. I have
alcohol.
A right I to observed, not let you search my car.
Okay, so...
I have a right to not let you search my car.
Unfortunately?
No, I have a right to not let you search my car.
We're not doing this.
I have a right to not let you search my car.
Ellie, don't.
You know my rights, and you know I have a right to not let you search my car.
Okay, listen, I don't...
There's a weed in the center council. There's a pipe I see.
Yeah, and listen, they don't have a right to search my car.
Listen to me.
They don't have a right to search my car.
Chill out, okay?
I know
I don't want to have to put you in handcuffs right now.
I know you don't have a right to search my car.
You need to relax.
It's an exception to the law. It's called a mobile conveyance.
You guys looked in my car before you have a right to search my car. And so you don't have a right to search my car.
It's also plain view.
Listen. You don't have a right to search my car.
I do.
No, you don't.
Okay, so
no,
Ellie,
you don't.
Ellie, do not touch me like that.
I'm telling you.
I'm going to tell you one more time, dear.
I'm telling you for a fact you don't have a right to search my car.
So listen to me. This is going to go one of two ways, okay? I would rather not put you in handcuffs. So we can chill out. I'm going to put you in handcuffs, okay? I don't want to. I'm sorry to hear that. But this is the deal. If you're cooperative, we can figure this out and work through it.
I'm just saying you can't search my car without a warrant. In my car. You can't search my car without a warrant.
So I know the law. Probably.
I know the law.
Okay.
Because I've looked it up and I know you can't search my car without a warrant, so I'm not allowing you to.
Ellie, I'm giving you one of two choices.
I know you can't search my car without a warrant. You guys know this.
Ellie, these are...
No, you can't.
Ellie, these are your choices. These are your choices. You can go stand by that squad car with these two gentlemen, okay? That's your first choice. If you do not want to do that, your second choice is I'm going to put you in handcuffs, okay? So which
you
do you choose?
You can't search my car without a warrant.
Which do you choose? I'm going to give you one opportunity right now.
You can't search my car without a warrant.
It's all on body cam.
You can't search my car without a warrant. No, you can't.
Turn around. Turn around.
Do not handcuff me.
We're not going to do this.
Chill. Turn around.
Stop.
Okay, right now you're being placed under arrest, okay?
This 18-year-old, who was found to have vodka in her car, and it was pretty obvious to the officers that she had been consuming it, she knew that they had to have a warrant to look in her car because she looked it up. Where she looked it up, who knows? She started giving them problems and then started resisting instead of just remaining calm, so the officers put her in handcuffs. The next bit goes to the female officer saying what the initial charge for arrest is, and that just sends everything with 18-year-old way off the deep end.
We'll go illegal consumption of alcohol by a minor right now, okay? Do you have the key? Stop.
Let's not do that.
Ellie,
we're not doing this.
Then take me out of the... Shut the...
That happened to you, okay?
Then take me out of the handcuffs! Take me out of the handcuffs! Ellie, stop!
Take me out of the handcuffs, then!
Listen,
take me out of the handcuffs!
Ellie, stop!
Take me out of the handcuffs!
Stop!
I got her.
Take me out of the handcuffs!
Ellie, stop! Ellie, listen to me. Stop.
Take me out of the handcuffs, then.
Ellie.
Take me out of the handcuffs,
then. Ellie, stop. Take me out of the handcuffs, then.
This is making it worse for yourself, Ellie.
Do you know how you are? Seriously, because what's going to end up happening?
Ellie, take me out of there.
Ellie, stop.
Take me out.
Ellie, stop.
Take me out of there.
Stop it.
Take me out.
Ellie, listen to me. Walk, step over here.
Take them off!
Take a deep breath. Listen to me.
Can you please take the handcuffs off? Do you want...
Okay, you have to listen to me.
Ellie, listen to me.
Stop talking.
Take a deep breath right now.
Stop talking.
Take a deep breath.
Stop talking.
Take a deep breath.
Deep breath. Listen to me. Okay? You're going to be okay. But you can't fight with us.
I won't. Just please take me out.
I cannot take you out of the handcuffs because of how out of control you're being right now.
I'll sit in this car.
If you chill out.
I'll sit in this car if you please take the handcuffs off.
Well, I cannot have you unhandcuffed. It's my policy. I can get fired for it.
I will stay in this car the entire time.
Well, I'm going to need you to sit in the car anyway, but I promise.
Thank you.
Okay.
Chill. You don't know.
Listen.
I can't with these hands.
Ellie.
Listen.
Chill. Ellie, take a deep breath for me. Take one right now.
No, I didn't even do anything wrong. It was
Ellie. Listen to me.
Just
listen to me.
Please just take off the handcuffs. Please take off the do not buckle me.
Then I'm not gonna buckle you.
Please take off the handcuffs because I can't with the handcuffs. Please.
Chill. You have to chill out.
Please take off the handcuffs.
Okay.
Please.
Right now, I can't. You know why?
I'll sit here if you take off the handcuffs. Okay. If not, I'll run out.
Ellie, listen to me, okay? Because of everything that just happened, I need to ensure that you're safe. Tell you something? Can I share something with you? I was a mental health clinician for 10 years before I was a police officer. Okay? So I can empathize with you, but it's also my job to make sure that you're safe.
I will stay here if you just take off the handcuffs and get...
How about we try to do some breathing, okay?
He can buckle me up if you take off the handcuffs, please. He can't buckle me if not.
So listen, this is the deal. if you keep fighting like this, my sergeant's on his way here, and he has this device called the wrap, okay? And it completely restrains you. Listen to me. You have to listen to me. If you can't calm yourself down the way we are now, I am going to have to put you in that, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that because we're calm and we're talking right now, okay? So we have to stop, okay? You have to stop. Take some deep breaths. Let's do some grounding. Can we do some grounding? Okay, I understand. But right now, this is the deal, okay? Right now?
Can my parents bail me out?
Yeah, they can bail you out.
How much money is it going to be?
I don't know. But
do you know the estimate?
How about this?
Do you know the estimate?
Do you have your Illinois driver's license on you and your card?
Yes.
You gave it to my officer, yes. Right? So as of right now, if you just get charged with DUI, it'll be $100 cash.
Okay, I can pay that.
Okay. Can I please, how about this? Okay. No. The faster I get you to the police department, the faster
I don't want to go to the police
department. Well, I have to. I have to take you.
What?
Okay. Because you're under arrest, and that's our policy.
Why am I under arrest?
For driving under the influence. Sweetheart, you can fight that in court, but right now you're under arrest, so this is what I have to do. I have to take you to the police department.
Please don't.
And if I take you to the police department, that's when the cuffs are going to come off quicker.
No!
Okay. All right, well, listen to me. If I put your seatbelt on, we can get you there in 5 minutes, and the handcuffs will come off.
Can my parents come pick me up then?
I will call your parents. Sweetheart, we'll figure it all out, okay? Can I put your seatbelt on now? Can we go? Can we go to get these handcuffs off you, Ellie?
I just want to drive home.
I know,
want my sister to come pick me up. Okay. That's what was supposed to happen.
Call your sister, okay?
Can you call her instead of my
Officer
parents?
Officer Barillo is going to hand me this so can I can
you,
put it
can
on you.
Can you call her instead of my parents?
Yes, I'll call your sister for you. Absolutely.
Wait, okay. Can you get my phone from my car so I know what
number? What else do you need? You need your phone? Do you need anything else from your car?
Just my phone.
Okay, do you have a debit card or a wallet that where you're going to have $100?
I just use... No.
Okay, so maybe your sister can bring that
can
for you.
Can you call her to...
Yeah, we're going to figure it out.
Call her alone.
Yes, we're going to get you to the police department so I can get these off.
Tell her to not help my parents and just...
Whose squad is this?
This same type of stuff continues for the next few minutes. I've cut that bit out. The next very quick segment of this I'll play, and to me it's just confusing as hell.
Please just take them off of me. I can't wear them.
Ellie.
It feels like I'm going to Utah.
Ellie, stop.
Ellie, if you do that one more time, I'm going to put you in the wrap.
Stop it. Okay?
Then please take the handcuffs off me.
Then you're going to get put in the wrap. Those are your options. If you bang your head one more time, I'm going to put you in the wrap.
Please take the handcuffs off.
It's not going to happen.
I can't wear it.
Listen.
Ellie, the longer we fight, the longer you're
going to
be in handcuffs
like Just that. Please take me to the station and call my sister.
Okay, if you can chill out, then good. That we're on our way.
Wait, Ellie. Can you get my phone so I know my sister's number?
Your phone is in your pocket.
No, it's in her pocket. I don't have my phone.
Okay. Phone and wallet?
I don't have a fucking wallet, just phone.
Ellie, what was I talking about earlier? Take a deep breath, okay?
You don't!
That last little bit started out by her asking again for the handcuffs to be removed. Then she screams that it feels like she's going to Utah. Now, I've never been to Utah, but if it feels like that, I think I'm going to steer clear of it. She then starts trying to ram her head against the barrier between the back of the patrol car and the front. A couple things about this, though. Not at all positive about this, so this will just be a theory on my part. There are apparently some health treatment centers in Utah for teens with behavioral issues. She could have been talking about one of those, but again, I have no way to confirm this. The other thing with this clip, and the couple before it, it really sounds like she's freaking out and crying. But if you watch the video, she's not at all crying. I didn't see a single tear roll down her cheek. When you look at her face, to me anyway, it looks like when a small child gets caught doing something wrong and they believe they can either fake cry or throw a full-on tantrum and that would get them out of it. She's trying both of those right now, and in the past, stuff like that may have worked for her. From her actions, it seems like they probably have before. Unfortunately for her this time, they're not working out. I cut out the next bit where she is asking about her vape pen that she had just bought. She starts saying that she believes the officers are going to take it, and if they do, they owe her $27. They just want to remove it from her person and put it back in her car. That's all they were wanting to do. The next piece amps things up even more when the female officer says she's going to do a more thorough search.
Allie, what I'm going to do is a little bit more of a thorough search, just like...
You can't touch me. I give you not stop permission yelling, to touch yelling. Me. Allie, I don't Allie. Give you permission Allie. To touch me. I don't give you permission to touch me. I don't give you permission to touch me. Just because you're with the law does not mean you can touch me
for yourself.
Without consent. You can't touch me without consent.
They eventually have to put her in that restraint device they called the wrap. She didn't like that either. After that, they finally get her back into the patrol car. Once outside, the officers start talking about what charges to file on her.
Yeah, so what I'm going to guess is they're going to put her somewhere, and you might just have to do an observation, ask her if she wants a blow, and if she says no... Because what the overarching charge here is the aggravated battery. I mean, she was digging her hands in.
She bit your shoulder.
She bit your shoulder?
Yeah.
Do you know if you have teeth marks under your shirt?
No.
Okay.
She spit on Lang.
She spit on Lang too?
Yeah, she spit on Lang. Okay. That's why I might, like, after that, he was directly in front of her, and I was just like, because I'm like, this, I don't need him, you know?
So, she bit you. She spit on Lang, she spit on Barillo, she dug her hand.
She grabbed my wrist numerous times before we even started.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 counts of aggravated battery.
What started out as maybe just a DUI has now jumped up to multiple counts of assault on officers. Not at all looking good for her. I wish I could say that this would be the end of it, but it wasn't. Inside the patrol car, she just keeps on with her tantrum.
Who has my vape? Who has my vape? Who has my vape? Who has my vape? Who's gonna answer? Who has my vape?
It's in your car.
Ah!
Time she's doing this screaming, and in the South would call this pitching a fit. She's laying down on the back seat and kicking at whatever she can. But what's amazing and crazy, the next bit, she somehow manages to turn herself to where she is head first down in the floorboard with her legs up in the air.
Why are you answering?
Start of that was her kicking on the ceiling of the patrol car. Then she starts screaming for help because she's got herself stuck down in the floor between the seat and the partition. She screams over and over again help me. Then she says she can't breathe as she's screaming. If you stuck a polygraph on her, the examiner would likely say, I determine that's a lie. There's no way she can't breathe with that marathon screaming session she was going on. But her cries for help quickly change there at the end, where she says, well, she doesn't say, she screamed, she hates cops. They finally get her to jail, and she actually calms down. What the hell am I talking about? Now I'm lying. She's not calming down.
Please.
She's been kidnapped.
Get my hands up, help me get this out of my mouth. Get this out of my mouth.
Miss, what's your name?
Ellie, get this out of my mouth.
Okay, Ellie, you gotta tell me what's going on today. What happened?
Get this out of my mouth right now. I can't breathe.
Ellie, you gotta talk to me.
Get the hair in. I can't talk.
Unloading her from the patrol car at the jail, they had to put one of those spit guards over her head because she'd already spit on an officer or two. The spit guard, that's just a piece of netting that's put over her head with loose elastic around the base to keep it in place. From there, she's moved into a holding cell, still acting like she's crying, but continuing with her fit.
What's your question? No, in the morning. In the morning.
Why not tonight? They told me tonight.
No, you had to see the judge.
What if I go home and see the judge? If my parents.
What's that?
If my parents bail me out tonight, did they bring me to the judge?
No, you don't have a bail until the judge sets it. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
No, I won't!
You'll be fine.
Ah!
It's just this right now.
Take some deep breaths, okay? I trust me. These young ladies that you're talking to, you're in good hands, okay?
If I told my parents, told me whatever it is, get me out tonight. I can't be here.
Okay. Let's try it. Why don't we try some coping skills, okay?
I can't be here tonight. I really can't be here tonight.
It's going to be okay.
I can't be here
tonight.
I'm not gonna be okay.
I'm gonna book you in a little while, okay? I'm gonna give you 3 free phone calls. But listen, you're gonna be down here just for tonight. You're gonna listen, Ellie.
I can't be here tonight.
Ellie, listen to me. It's just for tonight. You listen, Ellie. I know, but is there anyone you can call?
My parents.
Okay, but listen, come by the door so that I don't have to listen. Unfortunately, you're going to have to spend the night.
No, I can't.
Ellie, listen for a second. Let me talk.
I
know. Ellie, I know, but listen. Ellie, you're not going to go anywhere. You're just going to be here. I'm going to be here all night long.
I can't stay
listen,
here.
Ellie.
I can't.
I understand, but you have no choice.
Let me call my parents.
Yeah, I'm going to let you. In the morning, they'll be gone.
No, they'll be right now.
Ellie, the judge has to issue the bond, and he's not here. Not till the morning.
Please call the judge then, please.
It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that.
I can't stay here.
Ellie, you got no choice.
I like that there at the end, she believes the jail guard is going to call the judge in the middle of the night, wake him up, and make him come down there simply to issue her bail so she can leave and go home. I bet every criminal wants that. 18-year-old Ellie Masakovich didn't only have a DUI charge that night. She racked up a lot of other charges. 5 charges of Class 2 felony aggravated battery of a police officer, possession of liquor by a minor, which is a Class A misdemeanor, resisting arrest, accepting liquor as a minor, transporting alcohol as a driver, and she had a charge of retail theft of merchandise for under $300. I'm not sure where that came from. Then she was cited for several traffic violations from when she was driving. DUI, following too closely, improper turn signal, improper lane usage, and driving an uninsured motor vehicle. The maybe $100 to $200 bond that she would have gotten got escalated to $20,000. Even though this happened back in 2022, she still hasn't been to trial about it yet. She has a conference trial set for July 25th this year and a jury trial set for July 29th. I'm pretty positive that those officers were not expecting a simple DUI arrest to turn out like that. That'll do it for this one. I'd say that both of those incidents were pretty crazy and unexpected. Since this was a much longer episode than usual, I'll just quickly remind everyone to follow the show on social media, get your bonus content on over at Patreon, and if you need some new clothes or other Music City 911 gear, hit up MusicCity911.com and look for the shop button. Until next time, for Music City 911, I'm Brandon, and y'all have a good one.